Hey, podcast listeners, Jasmine Morris here. We're dropping in with a special episode to pay tribute to a StoryCorps participant who died last month at the age of 57. Rick Abbath sat down with us in 2015 to tell his story, something he rarely did. And in this episode of the podcast from back then, you'll hear why.
It's the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo, a producer here at StoryCorps, and today we're going to look back on the biggest art heist in history. I'm here with Jasmine Belcher-Morris, who produced the story. Hi, Jasmine.
Hey, Michael.
So when did this robbery happen?
It happened almost exactly 25 years ago, in the really early morning hours of March 18th in 1990 at Boston's Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
So what happened on that night in 1990?
That night, two men posing as police officers tricked the night watchman into letting them in. And then they stole artwork worth $500 million. The thieves have never been caught, and the art never recovered.
And we're going to hear now from the security guard who opened the door that night.
Yep, his name is Rick Abbath, and he hasn't done many interviews, but he agreed to come to StoryCorps with his wife, Diana. And this is the only interview he's giving for the 25th anniversary.
At the time of the robbery, I had just dropped out of Berklee College of Music. I was playing in a jam band and working night shift at the museum. I was just this hippie guy who wasn't hurting anything, wasn't on anybody's radar. And the next day, I was on everybody's radar for the largest art heist in history. You know, most of the guards were either older or they were college students. Nobody there was capable of dealing with actual criminals. But that night, two cops rang the doorbell. They had hats, badges, they looked like cops, and I let them in. They said, "Are you here alone?" And I said, "I have a partner that's out on a round." They said, "Call him down." And they said, "Gentlemen, this is a robbery." They duct taped around our eyes and duct taped like the bottom of my chin to the top of my head. And they handcuffed me to the electrical box for 7 hours. At first, I was panicking. And then I started singing "I Shall Be Released" by Bob Dylan. I don't know how long I was singing that damn song for, but it was quite some time. They took three Rembrandts, a Vermeer, a Manet, a bunch of sketches by Degas, and two of the Rembrandts. They cut them out of the frames. So even if they get the paintings back, they'll never be the same. And I feel horrible about that.
You ever feel embarrassed about it?
More than anything else, I'm angry about it. I don't want to be remembered for this alone. I'd like to be remembered for the good things I've done. I'm a husband. I'm a father of two really cool kids. But they're saying it's $500 million worth of artwork. And ultimately, I'm the one who made that decision to buzz them in. It's the kind of thing most people don't have to learn to cope with. It's like doing penance. It's always there.
Down here next to me in this lonely crowd, there's a man who swears he's not to blame.
That was Rick Abbath, who was a security guard on duty at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston the night that it was robbed in the biggest art heist in history. He was speaking with his wife, Diana.
Any day now, I shall be released.
So, Jasmine, there's a lot to talk about with this story.
Absolutely.
Let's start with the song that we've been hearing, Bob Dylan's "I Shall Be Released."
Yeah, this is the song that Rick was singing for hours while he was tied up in the basement. And the lyrics are really ironic. And I doubt Rick realized that at the time. But looking back, they're like, they say everything can be replaced. So I remember every face of every man who put me here. And then, of course, any day now, I shall be released. It's kind of a metaphor for his life. I mean, at the time, He literally wanted to be released from the duct tape and handcuffs in the basement, but this has followed him for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and in a comment on the story, somebody brought up Bill Buckner, who in Boston sports lore is the greatest scapegoat of all time, because he's the guy who missed a ground ball in the World Series in 1986, which led them to lose that World Series, and that's followed him his entire life. And so this comment said that Rick Abbath was the Bill Buckner of the art world.
That's kind of perfect.
So the robbery happened really early in the morning on March 18th, which means the previous day, the day that had just ended, was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Which is a really rowdy time in Boston. And it's not strange to have a lot of police officers around. So that's why Rick didn't really think much of it when they showed up at the museum.
And what were the rules about opening the door?
Well, there was a rule, but I'll let Rick tell you about it.
You don't open the door for God if he knocks. The reality is that we opened the door for anybody that worked there. People came late all the time. I figured the police outranked every one of those people I had opened up the door for previously.
You know, that kind of makes sense to me. If I were a college-age kid working this job, I would have let the police in, too. And I really empathize with him when he says that he had no idea how to deal with real criminals. I don't think I would either. What sort of training did he have?
Actually, Rick said there really wasn't much training, period. Here he is again.
We weren't actually trained. We were shown around. Like, here's the radio, and here's the pepper spray, and there's the panic button. Don't look at that painting at night. Supposedly, it was haunted.
So Rick was obviously a little unprepared to deal with the situation. And one of the tricks that the thieves, who were dressed as police officers, used was to act like they were suspicious of Rick, which Rick kind of understood, because he didn't exactly fit the description of who you might think would be in charge of protecting millions and millions of dollars worth of artwork.
You know, I had a big Stetson hat on, and I had the Isabella Stewart Gardner polyester shirt on, but it was over my Berklee College of Music tie-dye. It was unbuttoned, it was untucked. I don't think I bothered wearing the pants. The polyester pants weren't very comfortable, and I had, like, purple Guatemalan pants on. So I knew how it looked.
And we know what it looked like, too, because we're actually looking right now at a Boston Police Department photo taken of Rick when they discovered him locked up in the basement.
Yeah, he's got long hair. He's got a fanny pack on. He really isn't kidding when he describes himself as a hippie dude.
And we've posted that police photo on our website, so you can see just what poor Rick went through for those 7 hours. So what has it meant long term for Rick to sort of bear this responsibility? Like, what's happened to him over the past 25 years because of it?
Well, initially, Rick was considered a suspect. So the FBI, the local police, they all started interrogating him as soon as they cut him off that electrical box.
And it didn't just end that day after the robbery either, because they still haven't caught anybody, right?
Right. So Rick has kind of developed this long-term relationship with the FBI. They question him every few years, but Rick has never been charged with anything. And we should say that the statute of limitations is actually up for this crime.
Right. Now it's just a recovery effort for the art, and there's a $5 million reward.
Yes, offered by the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
So have you heard from Rick since the story went out over the radio?
I have. I got an email from Rick this morning. Turns out he got a message from a complete stranger who heard his story on NPR. And I want to read it to you. I was struck by what you said about being defined by your mistake. Strange that I should hear it this particular morning as I woke to a giant screw-up myself and was barely out of bed before I had to tend to it. The story I heard this morning was jaw-dropping, and not once did I think to myself, what an idiot. To hell with anybody who did. Allowing the story to be told in a national forum was an incredible act of courage and generosity. I admire you for it, and I may be a little gentler on myself this week for hearing it. And here at StoryCorps, we're really grateful to Rick for sharing with us.
Well, Jasmine, this has been a fascinating story to listen to. Thanks so much for bringing it on the podcast.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
That's all for this episode. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Michael Garofalo.
And I'm Jasmine Belcher-Morris.
Until next time, thanks for listening.